Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcatcher of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcastrotr.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 international license. Enjoy the episode. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars Series 4, Episode I.
I indeed.
I cannot believe who wins this episode.
Yeah. Because just looking at the six robots going into this, you would instantly think, huh, I think I have a good idea of who's going to win this.
This particular episode, this is the first episode we're doing since we started recording.
Yep.
So just to put it in perspective, I was up till about 4 a.m. watching this last night, and Chris's notes haven't saved, so
no.
This is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, this is going to be a bit of a cluster. Funnily enough, I was also up till about 4 in the morning watching Robot Wars last night. But
so we have the first battle, which is a freeway, as most of these battles have been so far. In fact, yep. I think it's not until the semi-finals that we get
one-on-one, mono-a-mono matches.
We're also into the second half of heats as well, which is pointed out to us.
Yes, this is the first heat to sort of set up the second semi-final.
Yep.
Okay. Because he's back! It's our boy from East Sussex, Eric!
Which is, yes, as you said, it's back. It looks pretty much identical to last season.
Nothing really needed to be done to it because it lost so quickly and didn't really take any damage. It probably could have just came like almost right off the rack with a bit of battery charge and then that's it.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I absolutely understand where you're coming from with that, yeah.
Good old Eric.
Hopefully it doesn't drive into the pit this time.
His opponent from Oxford, seeded number 16, Killer Hertz.
So Killer Hertz is back for, I believe this is their last run as Killer Hertz. Which, I mean, you don't, you know, there's not much that you need to know about them, other than that they keep on going on about the car steering. It's another one of these Julia things where I know one thing about the robot and I'm going to constantly bring it up.
Yeah, it's like, it's, you can clearly tell before they hit record, it's like, so what's one thing about your robot? It's like, oh, it's got Cars Deer, right, cool. What's the name of it? It's Killerhurst. Okay, cool. 3, 2, 1. And this robot is Killerhurst. Oh, it's got car steering. Oh, look at that. It turns and drives like a car.
Yep. And I believe there is only one newcomer in this episode, so why don't you introduce them?
From Noonsley, Destructobubble.
Which is an interesting enough concept. I don't know that it's necessarily the most effective design, though I can see the principle behind it. It is a giant, well, not quite spherical, I mean it's flat at the bottom, but it's a spherical-ish robot.
Yeah, but I think if there's actual name for that sort of shape.
I'm sure there is an official name, but I can't be, I'm not that...
I'm not a shape and maths kind of person, so I don't know either.
Just to get into the actual battle itself, it's a case of Destructobubble is nowhere near fast enough to do anything.
Yeah. It's also the biggest, so like, yeah. Kind of Eric and Gellerhurst are like, right, okay, maybe if we pincer move it, then that might be the best idea. But then like, every time one of them seems to attack it, the other robot comes up from behind. Like, Eric gets a few decent flips in that way when, like, Killerhurst kind of comes in for, like, a go on Destructobubble. That's where Eric gets his flips in.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's one of these things where it's quite clear that Destructobubble is completely and utterly outgunned. It doesn't have an effective weapon. It doesn't really have the speed to catch. No, admittedly, two of the fastest robots.
Yeah.
But it is still, it's just a bit...
And the thing is, like, it has, like, the same kind of weapon that you see a couple of times in this season with the big pneumatic spike that never seems to really do anything. And then, like, most of the time when you see these spikes, they kind of come out and then it just pushes Destructobubble away from opponents, yeah, as opposed to it doing any damage.
I think there's only really one properly good spike like this, and we will have that coming up, admittedly.
Yeah.
In this recording session, but not today.
Not today.
But yes, one thing that's actually quite impressive, because I always thought Eric's flipper was a little bit weedy.
Uh-huh.
But it is able to flip simultaneously
Destructible
and Killerhurst that's holding onto its axe.
Yeah.
Which is quite impressive.
Yeah, it's not a bad little flipper, to be honest. I think it just kind of needed something a bit bigger. I mean, obviously, the kind of the flipping bit at the bottom's a bit bigger this season than it was last season, so it can get a bit more under. But it's not a bad little bot, and I mean, I've taken it to many championships and Robot Arena.
Yep.
So, sorry, just one more thing. They also keep going on about Eric's self-writer, which annoyingly we don't get to see, but, like, do you think it could self-write using that flipper? Because I feel like it's a very awkward shape.
I'm looking at it, it looks like it's... Because I think it's got, like, curved edges on its two sides so that it gets onto its flipper.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's possible, but it's not 100%
certain. I think it may be a kind of, like, combination of the flipping arm and, like, the wheel that's it's lying on the side of.
Yeah, because obviously the wheels are actually out and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's... We'll see.
Well, I guess
we'll never
get to see. Whoever has Eric, you know, rebuild him and then flip him on his side and show us and get back up.
I believe there is a rebuild effort going on, but I don't know.
Yeah, and then just give it to me. I don't want to pay anything for it, just give me it.
Okay.
So yeah, this match goes the distance. All three still alive at the end, and as you kind of alluded to, right as the hooter goes, Killerhurst lands another, like, really big axe blow onto the head of Destructobubble, And this is when Eric kind of comes in and tries to launch the two of them over at once. So Eric kind of ends this match looking kind of strong. Killer Hearts has done some damage on both robots, and Destructibubble was just kind of there. And the judges would agree with that, because Destructibubble is eliminated.
I think it's just, as we can say, it was just basically, unless one of the robots broke down, Destructibubble wasn't getting out of this match. It just, it wasn't fast enough.
It done all right. I'll give it that. Like
it did embarrass tried itself. Its
best.
Yeah,
it tried its best to fight, and it survived the whole match. Like there's a hell of a lot better attempt at a robot combat fight than a lot of robots we've seen so far. So at least it got off the starting blocks.
Indeed. So that means that we've got another match.
It certainly does. It means that Team Ivanhoe are back from season 2, because from Norfolk, Splinter.
Which is a robot that doesn't actually look that great until you see it actually fight. Because when you actually look at it, you go, well, it's a slightly crappily armored box with a big, silly plastic scoop.
Oh, and then they mentioned, like, later on, like, Craig Charles asked him after one of their fights, like, spoilers, they advance. He's like, oh, that scoop is a bit mangled at the front. And then they were like, oh, we just heat it up and it molds itself back into place. And it's like, ah, like plastic does.
Yeah, but that said, it's one of these robots that is an absolute sign of just how important it is to have a great driver.
Exactly. And I think it kind of goes to show, I mean, we'll get to it. It goes to show in his next fight how good the driving is and how it managed to get through that match. But we'll get onto that when we get to it.
Yep, absolutely. Next up.
So, Splinter's opponents. First, from Essex, seated number 31, Centurion.
Which doesn't look that different. The main kind of difference is
it looks a bit beefier.
One, it's a bit beefier. Two, the flipper's a bit bigger, just in general. It's got, what it's actually got with the flipper is the flipper, instead of just being some forks, it's actually like a full lifting device.
Yeah, it's got like a whole, it's got forks, but then it's also kind of got the actual panel as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And their opponent from Edinburgh, Small Talk.
So how's this team not seeded?
They fought in
the World Championship. They fought in two wars. They've got into two heat finals.
They advanced a lot farther in Series 3 than Centurion did, who they're in this match with.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, it's all kind of questions aside. So, it's, let's be honest, it's not as good as All Talk was. It is a plastic robot that is invertible with a disc weapon at the front. It's kind of in that sort of awkward halfway house of, it's too big to be a saw, but it's not big enough to actually be like a proper spinning disc.
See, the thing with this is, when they talk about Small Talk, they talk about it as if when it gets flipped upside down, it can drive on its weapon, thus making it faster and making it better. And it's like, well, no, because then you're driving on your weapon.
And also, it's not like, for instance, one robot that really, I think, actually is more manoeuvrable when it was upside down, which was 13 Black. I mean, this is just something that, well, not in this fight, but it gets dragged along rather than being that kind of impressive. So anyway, this match, there was a hint before the battle that Centurion was going to get double teamed.
Yeah.
And it didn't really need to be, because it was that sluggish.
It barely even got going, to be honest. They got, like, stuck. Like, you know, Splinter comes in with his claws and drives him straight into, like, I think it was Dead Metal. And then, kind of, like, that was that. He couldn't really get out of the corner after that.
It sounds like maybe the link shared.
Yeah, I think that's what they said after it. Like, yeah. It must have been Dead Metal that done that, because none of these other two robots are, like, kind of high enough to reach where it was.
Yeah. What is noticeable, though, is whilst that's happening, you get... Splinter is really impressive. It manages to kind of manhandle Smalltalk very easily. Admittedly, you see this more in later battles, but there are hints here that, oh no, Splinter is really well-driven.
Oh, yeah. I always remember Splinter being good, but I could never, like, really think, why, like, you know, like, kind of like that conversation we constantly have with Weldar, of, you remember robots being, like, really good, and then, like, you kind of watch them back and go, oh, okay, maybe that was all just in my head, but then, like, I watched this heat, and every match Splinter is just, like, incredible in, like, and as you say, like, the amount of driving, and then those, like, side claws, like, that's like, the first and one of the very few times where that's really been done with the kind of side axes. Like, was a very unique weapon at the time.
And, I mean, it's the first real... Well, it's not the first control bot outright.
Yeah.
It's the first control bot that we've seen really in Robot Wars. Because the only other one that you can maybe argue is a control bot would be something like the original version of Thermidor 2. Or, I suppose, technically Razor, though obviously Razor used their weapon more as an offensive weapon than a controlling weapon.
Yeah, because sometimes when you see control bots, you think of things that are just like standard Wedge, where it's just, oh, it's got a lot of power and it's got a slanty bit in the front, and then we can just like drive into things, or things like Tornado as well, sort of more control bots that use power and just like, you know, a flat surface or a wedge surface to kind of like control a battle, but like they don't have like finishing off power.
Yeah,
but like there was one like really funny bit at the close to the end of this match where the house robots just start working on Centurion, and then Splinter just starts spinning around in circles for about a good 30 seconds, and it's like, its arms are just flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can just kind of imagine it just going, ah!
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's doing, isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah, so Centurion, the first seed of the show has been eliminated.
The first seed of the show is down. The seed is down.
And once again, I will hark back to what you said a minute ago. Why wasn't Smalltalk the seed in this match?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like we're being a bit more down on Centurion than it maybe deserves. It didn't seem to be at the races.
I mean, well, that was the thing. Didn't it lose like its first match in season 3? Series 3? Or did it
no,
get through the second match?
No, one match. I think it lost in its semi-final. It lost in...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the argument of, you know, All Talk last year went further. That's really my main argument, but I'm not trying to take anything else away from Centurion. I think it was an awesome robot. And
absolutely.
Actually, kind of got that this is the last time that we're going to see Centurion as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do see Rate-8 back.
Sure do.
It just in your favourite robot.
It should have just maybe not have gloved onto a worse team.
It is something.
Hi guys, Alan
and Ugris
here with a slight break from the main show. I'm just going to say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So we get on to the pinball.
I had like a massive like spiel. Like normally when it comes to pinball, I just write down what they've done, like knocked over barrels, hit a couple of buffers. But like for this this specific run, I had like a pretty massive spiel because the robot in question is King B3, and they almost slaughtered this entire like pinball run. And see if they maybe had like about 3 more seconds, they would have won and been top of this leaderboard.
Absolutely, because they got 225 because they hit virtually everything. The only thing they didn't hit was the 75 target.
Yeah, they got the 250s at the side, some barrels, hit the multi-ball and the car door. And then, like, I think Sir Killett was just getting in his way, so you see just as, like, the last, like, 3, 2, 1 seconds, like, countdown, it drives at the 75 that was clear and just missed it. Hit the wall beside it.
It does it twice, actually, so it's not far off, but it's, you know, that's the difference between... I mean, that is literally the difference between taking the lead. I mean, I think it still wouldn't have won, but it would have put it temporarily in the lead.
I can't remember.
So
yeah, 300. I can't remember actually what the winning total was. I guess we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because we know that it's coming up soon.
Yeah.
I guess we can maybe go back to that chat at the time when we see, because I can't remember. But I mean, King B would have been definitely at the top for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Had I hit that 75 buffer.
Absolutely. So we get on to the first semi-final, and I think this is actually probably, and I know you love Eric, and I know I would have preferred this as the final.
Okay.
Just in terms of, I think this is the two best driven bots in this heat, which is Kilohertz and Splinter.
I mean, like, if this was to be the final, I would have hoped that the situation that happened with Kilohertz didn't happen, just
yes,
so we could get a determined, a definitive winner.
Because, yeah, what happened is it's a very tight match early on. Splinter is able to do the job it needs to do. It gets side on, it is controlling the match. And then Kilohertz gets stuck in forward drive. You actually see it happen. I mean, you actually see there's a couple of times the house robots like pull it away. And it's like, no, wall! Boom!
More wall.
No, my wall!
I love wall.
I love lamp.
Are you just looking at things and saying you love them? I love wall. I love wall.
And, yeah, I mean, Kilohertz is Kilohertz. I think there's only two or three candidates in this. The other one I can think of off the top of my head would be Mortis. Is Kilohertz the best robot never to really reach its potential?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I would kind of argue in that kind of vein of that question is Firestorm, but like obviously Firestorm always tend to do pretty well.
Multiple-time grand finalists. I mean, it is...
Yeah. I get what you mean, but like, yeah. So Mortis, like, ever since season one, they come in with all the pomp and circumstance of being
two.
Like, oh, we are going to win. We are going to win. And then they don't.
So it was like, it took on Roadblock and it broke itself on Roadblock's face. Series 3, they drove into the pit? Series 3, they drove into the pit. And then this season, they had a small mechanical issue and it just, yeah.
Yeah, because in season 1, they had to go into their fight with
Season 2, Recycle. They went in series 1.
Mortis?
Oh, Mortis, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Mortis in season 1, died. Their weapon died in like the first match, and then so they had to go into that final obviously without their axe. So that was probably their problem there. But anyway, I just realized you were talking about Kilohertz and not Mortis.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Mortis has has some degree of adventures as well.
Oh yeah, totally.
Eric versus Small Talk.
Exactly. Especially since, like, one of the things that I found the funniest was when Julia is backstage with Team Eric, she starts talking about the Shrimek, which, for one, she pronounced incorrectly, and two, the driver of Eric had no idea what she was talking about. He was just like, Shrimek, what's that? It's like, self-righting mechanism. It's like, oh, I've never heard that before.
Now, to be fair, when it was first pronounced by Jonathan Pierce, it was referred to as a Shrimek.
Mm.
Well, Shrimek would sound better self-writing rather than Shree. One other thing that's quite that they don't mention at this point is obviously the fact that Small Talk has this cooling system.
Yes.
Which is basically, it blows, I don't know if it's cold air or if it's CO2, what it is, but it blows cold air onto all its parts to prevent them from overheating. Three guesses what broke.
Yeah, at their last fight.
So, this match, I have to say, as much as we kind of derided Small Talk's weapon, it does make a good sound hitting Eric's metal.
Very much so.
And early on, Small Talk is in charge of the fight, I think.
For a little bit, like, I think it was kind of until Eric managed to get that flip over onto Small Talk's back, and then it's kind of what I was saying earlier, of like, even like the few moments where Small Talk was driving around on its upside down, on its own weapon, it just didn't seem to move properly anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was very weird. And so I don't think it really would have been able to do much. And then, as I say, like, if you're driving around on top of your weapon, that kind of makes your weapon, you know, redundant. Because if you're going to drive into somebody with your weapon, you're using the weapon as a wheel, and then you're going to drive into somebody, it's not going to make that much sort of impact or damage or anything.
Absolutely. It's not going to be a good time. And also, it's going to end up significantly overheating your motor, which is what it does.
And so it doesn't last very long upside down, and then catches fire, and then backstage they sort of ask, so what really happened? And then they pick up this thing and go, oh yeah, this thing like caught a light, which then started catching everything else on fire. And they're like, so how much was that part worth? And they were like, it was about 70p.
Yeah.
And then for some reason they pointed the big ass motor that's in front of them. They're like, that was worth 70 quid, but that was worth 70p.
Well, I think it's the 70p part, it basically blew up the £70 part.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was quite a bit disappointing for them. Well, since we're very so quickly talking about this robot, this is going to be the first of many Lexan bulletproof cladded plastic robots that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks, because Jesus Christ, there is a lot of them.
Oh yes, absolutely.
That seemed to be the kind of gimmick of season 4. Is,
I don't know if it's maybe it's a bit like how when we came back for the reboot, it became the huge thing became what's it called? What's the metal?
Eric.
No, what's the metal that like Eruption was made of, for instance?
I don't know the name of it, but I know what you're talking about. Like,
and they keep on mentioning this particular type of metal. Hardox, that's the one. Like, everything seemed to be Hardox. Which I'm sure it's there for a particular reason, which is it's like the best material to use. But it was like, I don't know if this was maybe like everyone going, oh, I wonder if this works.
Especially like as the kind of reboot went on, and because you had a couple of robots that were kind of clad in different things, like shopping trolleys, and even one that was made out of wood. And then, and definitely by season 10, I think, like, practically every robot was probably made out of that stuff.
Yeah, and that's why they cost, well, I, the cheapest robot in the reboot, outside the kind of the gimmicky, jokey ones.
Uh-huh.
Like even like Nuts was over £1,000. Like
Nuts was like incredibly expensive considering you look at it and you think that thing cost about like $200 at most.
Well, that's one of the things I said. That's one of the reasons why the house robots very much toned down their destructiveness in the reboot.
Yeah,
because they were really expensive. Yeah. One other thing I do know in the battle with Smalltalk and Eric, Killalot attacks Eric.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it kind of clamps down on like Eric's sort of right side, and then they weren't exactly pissed off, but they brought it up backstage after the fight. It was like, yeah, Killalot like really like messed us up, and like thankfully, you know, we had already won at that point, but
yeah.
That was a lot of sort of stuff that we had to like kind of deal with to get the bodywork back into shape, so that because otherwise we were just going to be driving around in a circle. Like again, thankfully we won at that point, but
yeah,
you're right. That was a bit unfair.
Hey guys, Alan here. I'm just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more. The whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go onto to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers, Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. So we get a final of Splinter versus Eric, which, I have to be honest, is probably not the robots that most people were expecting in the final.
No. Yeah, Splinter, well done.
Absolutely. And it's the equivalent of... And I know I kind of compared a few weeks ago Tornado to Goldberg. This is the equivalent of Brock Lesnar getting his hold of someone. Because it is. It's just a
like
match
a Heath
of...
Slater.
Yeah, it's a match of Splinter grabbing Eric and just going, right, into the wall with you.
Al.
Into shove with you.
Al, my face.
Into the wall. I mean, it is just an absolute... Well, not a complete curb stomping. There is 1 minute where Splinter gets tipped over.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so close to getting over, and it just doesn't quite get over.
The thing is, even though I knew who won this fight, see, when Eric flipped him over, I did go, for a second.
Yeah, there's a second you're like, there is hope!
Because that's why I always thought during this fight was like, all Eric needs to do is get one good flip, and he can get Splinter over, because Splinter can't self-right.
Yeah.
But, and then he got, like, that one really good hit, and...
Well, I don't know, because isn't... If the top... The way that the top of Splinter is shaped, maybe the axis could pull it over?
Well, if it landed on its side, yes, but...
No, but like, because it's curved, it would kind of lean to one or other side.
I don't know, but I can't help but feel as if, like, if that landed, you know, like, if it just went arse over tea kettle and just went... Like, kind of the sort of way that, I mean, I'm not saying these two flippers are anything alike, but just as a sort of example, like when Wheelie Big Cheese done its suplex flip to Killatron, like if Eric was able to get something similar to that, I feel like the Splinter sort of shield at the front would kind of just bend under the weight of it,
yeah,
as opposed to thinking it over. But there is also the one part in this match where Splinter does get stuck on the wall like a good couple of seconds, and there was a big bit of worry there when it came to that, because you kind of see the arms come through and one of the arms just goes right through a hole in the wall, and then it's trying to drive away and his arm's like, I'm stuck. But those are probably like the only two chances where Eric probably had to win this thing, was that flip and then that kind of part where Splinter got stuck in the wall.
Absolutely.
Valiant effort, though.
It does everything it can. It does try its hardest.
And I think even the sort of interview afterwards, they kind of mentioned that there was one point where they specifically said, oh yeah, see at the end there, where it looks like Splinter's pushing us, we were actually driving forward and we were trying to outrun it, but Splinter's just too fast that it was just constantly on our ass. So it does look like Splinter's pushing us the whole time, but we were just trying to get away. So it's like kind of the thing was like, they're just kind of trying to justify themselves a little bit, but
yeah,
they'd already lost at that point. So
absolutely. So a valiant effort from Eric, but not enough. Now, one thing that you may have noticed,
mm-hmm,
is we didn't talk about anything between the semi-finals and final.
You are correct, sir.
Which just seems a bit weird.
Yeah. I can't help but feel as if like you could have easily done a second round of sumo.
Either a second round of sumo or spaced it out more.
Yeah, I mean, because then sumo was never like that long of a thing anyway. If you planned it out to have two runs, like just get double the amount of competitors, because I mean, no doubt there was there would have been some other like sort of robots that would have just loved to go in there just to like kind of show up again for 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Because there were some that were gone so early in this competition that probably had very little actual damage that they probably wouldn't have been able to go in at like a moment's notice. Like, well, actually, I don't want to mention that robot because we've not spoken about it yet in the main competition, but Spikosaurus.
Yeah, or either that, or there are robots I actually really wish we had seen. For instance, can you imagine what would have happened? Tornado would have gone one of two ways. Ela would have bullied Shunt out very quickly, or run up the scoop and gone out immediately. It would be one or the other. It wouldn't be it wouldn't hang about.
Yeah, totally. It makes me kind of wonder if they partially may have said to Tornado, yeah, maybe no for you. Maybe you know a lot.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't argue with results, to be honest. And even like we did say that in Tornado's heat, there was a part where Tornado came in and started shoving Shunt across the arena during one of his fights. So Tornado, like it has proven that it can very easily push Shunt around. So
absolutely.
Would have been interesting. So then we get a quick rundown of what's going to happen in the next episode, including an absolute massive spoiler for one of the first matches.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, Robot Wars do love to give away the end of an episode before the episode even begins. Definitely even a bit later on. I think it's like 6 or 7. Like, they always do a rundown of what's happening in the episode that's about to air. And so whenever I watch those seasons, I would just kind of, you know, look away or look at my phone for a minute.
Well, I'd be honest, I just kind of skipped over those parts.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. So, yeah, this is when we then get on to the trivia.
The trivia.
So, this heat saw relatively poor performances by both the seeds, with Neela making the heat final. The only other occasions that this happened in the Fourth Wars were Heat G and a heat that we're not going to name because it's a spoiler.
Okay.
For some reason, Centurion swapped places with Suicidal Tendencies in for this heat when it should have been in the previous heat.
Interesting.
Which, I think Suicidal Tendencies versus Splinter would have been a fascinating fight.
That would have been awesome.
This is the only heat in Series 4 not to feature a heat winner from a previous series in the lineup, not counting the robot that competed in the pinball. Destructor Bubble was the only newcomer in this heat, though Splinter and Smalltalk were new robots from Team Ivanhoe and Team Talk, respectively. During the battle between Splinter and Killer Hut, Jonathan Pierce referred to Splinter by its predecessor, Ivanhoe, and referred to the pit as the Floor Flipper.
Nice.
This was the final main competition appearance of Killer Hut before being replaced with Terra Hut from the next series onward.
Oh, yes. That's when this gets good.
At the start of the heat, Splinter was referred to as a newcomer despite it appearing in Series 2 as Ivanhoe. This was corrected later on, and Ivanhoe's Season 2 performance was shown as well. And finally, this heat saw Sergeant Bash's first appearance in battles since Heat D, as he only appeared in the pinball from Heat E to H.
Wow.
I mean, to be fair, Bash has had some severe villain decay by this point.
Mm. And even, that's one thing we didn't actually bring up during the Killer Hearts match, was when it was stuck in forward drive, there was a moment where Killer Lot started spinning around with it and dropped it, and dropped it on its wheels, so it started, Killer Hearts started driving about again, and then just, like, took, like, random swings at any robot that was close to it. And swung and like looked like it snapped like the sort of torch at the top of Sergeant Bash off, like in one of his just mad erratic swings, and like I don't know when this match was maybe filmed, but maybe that's why he was kind of taken out for a while afterwards because they needed to fix that.
Absolutely. On to best newcomer, which, well, there's one candidate. So congratulations, Destructor Bubble. You win by the best way possible. Default.
Default. Default. Default. The two best words in the English language.
Yep. They are indeed.
So, this brings a very interesting kind of talk for the best returning robot then.
Yes, absolutely. Because, well, I think there's only really one candidate in terms of there's one robot that wins the heat.
However, like, and this is totally not me working kind of just Eric gimmick anymore.
Yeah. But
Eric getting to the heat final was, like, very impressive for, like, such a kind of gimmicky, not meant to be taken seriously robot.
Well, how about this, then? How about we do this? We say that Splinter was the best returning robot,
mm-hmm.
and Eric was the most improved.
There you go. That's perfect.
Does that work?
That works perfectly.
Fantastic.
Because also this is Eric's last season. We'll never see Eric again, sadly. Even though he should have totally got taken in for like Robot Wars Season 8. Because that would have been fucking hilarious.
Yep. Absolutely.
But, yeah, so Eric wins the Eric Award for being Eric. Well done.
In terms of overperformer, underperformer, I do think in many ways Splinter is an overperformer because, yes, it's got good power, but it's terribly armoured and it can't self-right.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously we'll be talking about Splinter again, but...
When it comes up against a proper weapon.
Yeah. Knowing what happens to Splinter, and it's just like, I know, like, that match doesn't go well for it, but Jesus Christ, does that thing continue to fight until it absolutely cannot anymore?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you bring all that stuff up now, I'm preempting when we get to that fight, but yeah, absolutely, like, he'd done the best that he could do with what it was given, and just the fact that it managed to get through three matches with a plastic scoop is quite insane, especially since, like, you know, some of, like, Smalltalk was in this episode. Can you imagine if Smalltalk, like, really, like, his weapon got going and it had a good go at that plastic scoop at the front of Splinter?
Absolutely.
But, I don't know, I suppose with that, is there anything else that you have?
Well, obviously we've got the underperformer as well, which I think has to be Killer Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that robot should have got to a semi-final.
Yeah. And it's always, like, the worst kind of reasons that Killer Hurt just can't function.
Yeah.
Because either, as you say, like earlier, it kills itself, drives into the pit, or just gets stuck in forward drive with its car steering. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, has car steering? No, no one mentioned it at all.
No. Yeah, it drives like a car. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go on.
All kidding aside, it is, like... It is a rarity. A lot of the robots are tank steerers.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair.
Yeah. I mean, like, it is, like, a very quite unique sort of setup for a robot. Like, yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, like, in wrestling sometimes where, like, if somebody gets a new, like, catchphrase or something, they say it about 18 million times just to try and drive that point home quickly so it gets stuck in your head, and that's almost what it kind of felt like here when it came to Killer Hurts. It's like Killer Hurts featuring car steering.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it had car steering for the previous... Oh, wait.
Yeah, it always had it, so why now is this the point where you're trying to get that over?
Absolutely. Okay, so... I believe that's us at the end of our episodes. And one thing I am going to start bringing in for this year is, obviously, we do other podcasts. So let's promote them.
Okay. Right. So, do you have 20 minutes for all my podcasts?
Well, we'll start with me. So my other main podcast is DCAU Podcast. It's with Rebecca Hart, who also made an appearance on our World Championship episode.
And also an episode featuring me.
Yes, on the DCAU Podcast. And probably, I'm hoping to have you on a future episode as well.
Ooh, delicious.
Okay, excellent. And, right. Just give me 10 minutes.
Go make a cup of tea or something. And,
on you go.
So, other than the Rise of the Robots podcast, I also one-third of the Triple Threat, known as the Turning Heel podcast with Chris motherfucking Hughes, and we've now just deemed him Robot because we keep going to take Robert. But probably the amount of times that I mentioned robots, everyone now has Robot in their head. So Robert the Robot is our third co-host. We talk about the week in pro wrestling, and coming up, in fact, we're recording it tomorrow afternoon, will be the first annual Healy Awards, the year-end awards. So that's going to be fun. Also, we are looking into doing sort of tribute episode for our fallen brother recently, Mr. Brodie Lee. He passed away at the beginning of the week, or you might know him as Luke Harper from WWE.
Yes.
So that they should hopefully be coming out this weekend. I also do a true crime podcast called Happening In. First few episodes are up. We have kind of taken a bit of an intentional hiatus, but hopefully 2021 we can get some more episodes out on that one. And finally, once a month, I do another different kind of wrestling podcast called The Turnbuckle Arms, where me and five other like-minded wrestling fans get together and we discuss like certain topics of pro wrestling. So we all bring like a big topic to the table, and then because there's six of us and because we all have very different tastes in pro wrestling, it makes for like kind of good discussions. And our Christmas episode came out at the beginning of December, which included myself and Lexi's wrestling-related rendition. Yeah, that's the word, of the 12 Days of Christmas. So that's right at the start of the episode. And in fact, I think I think that song is actually uploaded just as is as well. So if you look up Turnbuckle Arms, you should probably be able to find that on YouTube. It is also a video podcast, so if you want to look at our mugs while we sit and talk pro wrestling for about an hour and a half, you can go and have a look at us while we're there. And yes, I'm fully aware that I am on camera half the time, so I feel like the need to do stuff to make it worth people watching. So, yeah, you can see some of my other drunken antics on film.
Okay, fantastic. So, we'll be back next week with with episode J of Series 4 of Robot Wars.
J for Jesus Christ, I can't believe that happened.